Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn with me, please, to Exodus 33. The Word of God says in verse 13, "Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way." If I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way. That I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." And he said unto him, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not in that thou goest with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. Now therefore," in verse 13, "I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way." I was speaking to someone recently, and they made an interesting statement. We mentioned grace, and this person said, "Yes, we're under grace. We're under grace." And the Bible does say we are under grace. But it's a little bit of a problematic statement if I try to say to myself as an individual before God, I am under grace. While it is true, it is not complete. I am under grace. But what does that really mean to be under grace? If all I am is under grace, then I am under a heavy burden. Because under grace is a difficult place for me as a person to be. I can't achieve that. Because to say to me that I am under grace and then that is all, is putting me under a government and somehow I carry this government on my shoulders. And it's all the righteousness and truth of God. And yes, it is the unmerited favor of God. But it is a heavy burden to the natural man. A human being cannot simply be under grace, although he is under grace. What it means is that he is under an authority in a government. But if that's all I am, then I am under a very heavy burden. Grace, in a manner of speaking, in one sense, can turn into a burden. If I try to enter into grace in the natural mind, in the natural man, in the natural way of doing things, I can't take on grace that way. You see, the problem is I'm not just under grace. The reason why I can live in grace is because I'm not under it. I'm in it. And I said to this person, "No, you're in grace. You're not just under grace, you are in grace. You have grace above you and you have grace below you. And it is surrounding you on every side. You are in grace." You see, grace is God's government. And you are in that government. You're not just under the government like people are under the government of the United States. And so we abide by its rules and its laws, or we face consequences. That's being under a government. But we are in the government. What that means is that we have a place in this thing. We have a place we stand, we have a place where we bear authority, and we have a place where we have effect. We affect the government of God, in a manner of speaking, because the government of God is based on God and our response to Him. The government of God is something we carry inside of us. Jesus said, "The kingdom of God is within you." Well, how can the kingdom of God be within you? What does that mean that the kingdom of God is within you? There are two kingdoms, there is no other place. And I can deny it in my mind, But the reality of the matter is that if I deny that that wall is there and I keep walking, I'm going to hit that wall. So when we deal with reality, we have to deal with the fact that there are two kingdoms. And I am living under the authority of one kingdom, and as a partaker of that kingdom and a participant in that kingdom. Or I am living under the authority of the other kingdom as a partaker and a participant in that kingdom. But there are only the two kingdoms. In Psalm 94, the Word of God says that the throne of iniquity, it says the throne of iniquity. Iniquity is the ruling point for evil. Iniquity is where evil reigns. In other words, it is the seat of government for evil. Evil is the government and the manifestation of that government itself. That is evil. But on the other hand, we have a kingdom of God. And there is a throne in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. There is a throne of grace. And grace is also the seat of a government. And that government is in my favor. Iniquity is a government that will lead me, but it will destroy me. Grace is a government that will pick me up and carry me. I am in grace, but under iniquity. I cannot be in iniquity. Iniquity can only be in me. But I can operate in under iniquity. I can manifest iniquity. The Word of God says that iniquity is manifested by my hands and by my speech. So I can manifest iniquity, and if I operate under iniquity, I will manifest iniquity. The throne of grace, though, is also there. And the throne of grace is in the heart. Iniquity in Romans chapter 7 is in the flesh. The throne of grace is in the heart. Jesus said, the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom is in our hearts. And it is manifested with kindness. These are two different things. Have you ever come across somebody who's perpetually unkind? Or get this, you ever come across somebody who is one way in front of you and another way behind you? To your face they are friendly perhaps, but when you are not there they will disparage you and they will be very unkind toward you. That person is living in iniquity. They are living under a satanic government, and that satanic government is being revealed in their words. Hypocrisy is a part of iniquity also. And this is what I'm talking about. Where I say to my brother, you are my brother and my friend and I respect you. And behind their back, while they are away, I speak disparagingly of them with disrespect and dishonor. That's poneros evil. That's an infectious evil. I have to be careful that I'm operating under the right government in grace. Not just under grace, but in grace. I stand in grace. Let's take a look at this. I have found grace, heen, in Exodus 33. Heen, unmerited favor, yes. Acceptance, yes. Preference, yes. Beauty and special standing. I have found beauty and special standing. We don't think of that, do we? In thy sight. You look at me, God, and you perceive something very beautiful. That's who I am in your sight. I have special standing with you, God. And you find me very beautiful, and you accept me. And you prefer me over others, in Isaiah 43. I will give men for your life. Otherwise, for yours, right? You prefer me, and you give me special standing. Why? Because I've received you. I'm in your government, God. So you prefer me over the ones who are in the throne of iniquity. under their government, operating and manifesting another kingdom. Hey, believers, let me say something to you. Just because you're a believer does not mean you cannot manifest Satan's kingdom. Many believers do. It is entirely possible that my voice can be used by Satan if I operate in iniquity. It will be used. If I operate in the throne of grace, at the throne of grace, then my voice will be used by God. There are only the two kingdoms, and one of them is reigning in my heart. Have you ever realized the reality of that? Iniquity is expressed in my words and by my hands. Which kingdom is in my heart? I have to be in grace, or I am in iniquity. In thy sight, Enaim. And yes, it does refer to sight, like vision or eye. But what does that mean? It means perception, the presence of another, judgment, assessment, or opinion. I have found beauty, preference, and special standing in your perception, God. I have found your presence, and in your presence I am beautiful and I am accepted. Hey, you ever notice how the world never really quite accepts you? God never rejects you. God accepts us. In your presence, God, I am accepted and I am beautiful there. In your presence, I have preference and favor, and I did not even earn this favor. I earned the opposite. But because it is your government, I have earned your favor. What does it really mean to be in grace? It means that the government of God is operating in my heart. The government of God is not some pie-in-the-sky organization. The government of God is within my heart, and it governs me. That's what it means to be in grace. When I am governed by unmerited favor and special standing in the preference of God, when I am governed by His presence. Hey, did you know that people in iniquity are very unhappy most of the time? Why? Because they're not in the presence of God. But people who live in the presence of God are very happy most of the time. Why? Because in thy presence there is fullness of joy. Governments. It's about governments. What is governing my heart? If God's presence is governing my heart, there is unmerited favor and fullness of joy. Show me now thy way. Show, yada. Allow me to perceive, to learn, to know, to discern, to confess, to consider, to know experientially, and to be skillful in your way. This is what happens when I enter into the government of grace. When grace is functioning as a governing principle in my heart, when grace is the foundation of my frame of reference, which then becomes the premise for all of my thinking. When grace is functioning in this way, God shows me His ways. I get to know Him there, and I confess Him. You ever meet a believer who says, I'm trying, but it's awful? You're confessing from the wrong kingdom. You're confessing apart from faith, where God said, all things are for your sake, and all things are from me. You're confessing apart from faith, where God says, I make all things beautiful in their time. You're confessing apart from faith, where God says, that they that suffer with Christ will reign with Him. When God says this, when Paul the apostle and God through him said that this momentary light affliction brings an eternal weight of glory as he was waiting to be executed. Hey, what is your confession? In Romans chapter 12, they overcame the devil by the word of their testimony. It was one of the three things that overcame the devil was their confession. Why? Because if I confess negativity, I energize the atmosphere against me. And then the atmosphere will reflect that negativity right back to me. So I give the atmosphere all the tools that it needs. What happens if I am living in the throne of iniquity? I will take on the enemy's ministry. Because at the throne of iniquity, iniquity is governing my heart. And I become very soulish. I depend on personality rapport than Christ being between me and thee. Soul power is the throne of iniquity. Personality rapport is a form of soul power. How many people do you know that build friendships on the basis of their personality, but the discussion of the Savior and true fellowship happens very rarely? Well, they're living at a throne of iniquity in soul power. And then things will start happening that will manifest that throne of iniquity. Backbiting, mocking, being disparaging, unkind to people, especially behind their backs. Hypocrisy. Hey, you know what? If you hear somebody having a negative confession against another believer, you know what that's called? Satan's ministry. He is the accuser of the brethren. But yet believers will go and mock sometimes other believers, sometimes even their own pastors. And I don't think that's happening here, but it does happen in Christianity. They'll mock their own pastor. Or they'll mock the leadership of their church. The pastor preaches conviction, they mock the conviction. Do you know what? You're fellowshipping with Satan. How are you enjoying it? Are you sure you're actually saved? Because I don't think you are. If you can have his government on your throne. And in a practical sense, maybe your soul is saved, but in a practical sense, you are not saved. You have not been delivered from that kingdom. No. A person like that, you mock them and avoid them, Paul said. You don't go out to dinner with them, you don't hang out with them, you don't make them your best buddy. You mock and avoid. Why? Because we're talking about kingdoms. What kingdom do you function under? At the throne of grace, I edify. At the throne of grace, I have the fruits of the Spirit. At the throne of grace, I love people. At the throne of grace, I am kind to people, to their face, and even more kind behind their back. At the throne of grace, I fight for people even when they are wrong, and even behind their back, I fight for them. At the throne of grace, I say, give them love and give them mercy. Give them compassion. At the throne of grace, I edify and I build even when they are not there. At the throne of grace, I build up people to other people rather than tearing them down. It's a throne. And it shows what kingdom I'm operating under. Be careful with the throne of iniquity. Satan is there. But believer after believer fellowship with Satan, they like him. Because he suits their personality. Satan is there. Depart from evil. Isn't that what the Bible says? Depart from evil. How do I depart from evil? I go into God's presence. How do I go into God's presence? In Proverbs 16:6, this is how I get out of Satan's kingdom and into God's kingdom. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. This is how it works. We talked about it last week. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. By the way, did you know there is no repentance out of Satan's kingdom? There is no repentance out of iniquity, and there is no repentance out of evil, and the blood was not shed for iniquity or evil. The blood was not shed for Satan's government. The blood was shed for my sins, but my sins are not the same as iniquity. Iniquity is a throne. It is the seat of a government and the government of evil, and no amount of blood and no amount of confessing will get me out of evil or out of iniquity. What will get me out of iniquity? Mercy and truth. By mercy and truth, the throne of iniquity is purged out of my heart. Job 33 says that iniquity is in me. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged out of my heart. And you cannot separate them in Psalm 85. You cannot separate them in verse 10. Because when righteousness and peace have kissed each other, mercy and truth in the first part of the verse have met together, they are blended like an artist blends his colors. And when the colors are blended, they are one color. You cannot separate mercy and truth. It's not possible. They are one. They have become one color. And you cannot say, I will have mercy, but I will leave truth behind. And you cannot say, I will have truth, and I will leave mercy behind, because they are one color. It's like saying, I will have green, but I will not have green. You can't do that. It makes no sense. It's a babble. You can't do that. But by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. My heart changes and enters into the throne of grace by mercy and truth. Hey, you know that person who is constantly irritated, constantly frustrated, that is living in iniquity? They are not living in mercy and they are not living in truth. And on the other hand, the person who then goes and condemns them and tells them how awful they are not living in mercy and they are not living in truth either. They're also living in iniquity. So now you have two people living in iniquity. Going at it. That's a pretty picture. Families do this. But God is not like that. We are like that as people, but God is not like that. I fail as a believer, and God says mercy and truth. What did God do for the woman caught in adultery? Mercy and truth. He cast away her accusers, and then He told her, sin no more. Mercy and truth. God is very kind to us. That's the greatest manifestation of throne of grace. God is kind. And when I make a mistake or something goes wrong or somebody does something against me, I don't turn on them. I turn to God. And God will be very kind to me in that circumstance. And God will give me mercy and truth for that circumstance, and He'll allow me to enter into the throne of grace. You see, we run to the throne to get mercy, which then works the throne in me. No. God will never approach me in a negative sort of a fashion. God does not mock me behind my back as a believer. God does not ridicule me to the angels. God does not criticize or is not sarcastic. God is very kind. He is very good to me. And His goodness leads me to repentance. He is very kind toward me. And that's what draws me to Him. He shows me how much He loves me, and my heart is transformed. He gives me mercy, and I walk away from sin. God is very kind. That's why Jesus said, be merciful as the Lord is merciful, as I am merciful, as God is merciful. Be merciful as God is merciful. In Matthew chapter 5, what does it say? They that are merciful will obtain mercy. What does that mean? If I am merciful, I'm living at the throne of grace, and I come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy. So if I am merciful, it is because I live at the throne of grace. And when I come to the throne of grace, no matter when or why or how, God will always give me mercy. On a good day, God will give me mercy as much as on a bad day when I come to the throne of grace. I live in grace. In grace, at the throne of grace, it is God's throne. I am in His presence when I am at the throne of grace. There is no place to be but at the throne of grace if I want to be in His presence. So I go to the throne of grace and I enter into His presence. How do I get to the throne of grace? By faith. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 2, we have access by faith into this grace. Into, not towards, not before, into this grace. In which we stand. So I stand in grace and I have access into grace by faith. I believe God's mercy. I believe God's compassion. I believe what God has said about me and done for me. What if I'm operating at the throne of iniquity? Then every step I've taken into evil, I take back out through mercy and truth. What gets me into iniquity? Self-righteousness, so I humble myself before God. Negativity, so I take on God's attitude through faith. Jealousy, envy, strife, all the fruits of the flesh. So I pick up a cross. One step in, one step out. I don't entertain myself in iniquity. It's like taking an acid bath in my heart. I don't entertain myself at the throne of iniquity. I come to the throne of grace and God gives me His grace. What can be more wonderful than receiving the heart of God? Oh, but it makes me laugh when we cut somebody down. Yeah, Satan enjoys it too. Satan enjoys it too. It makes me feel better about myself when I can say how disgusting and terrible somebody is, or when I can mock them. Satan enjoys it too. Hey, did you ever consider that some believers, Satan actually enjoys their life? But we were made for the pleasure of God. But some believers, Satan enjoys their life because they go to iniquity. I rather come to God and have fellowship with Him than come to iniquity and have fellowship there. And often this person who is in iniquity will work mischief by the law. What does that mean? That means they don't know how to judge righteous judgment. They take on this natural conception of right and wrong, a law. And they say, you have failed. And usually that person did not fail. They only fail in that person's sight strictly because they don't know how to judge righteous judgment. I learned how to judge righteous judgment. Why? Because then I'm fellowshipping with God. What is righteous judgment? The finished work. Righteous judgment is not my opinion of what things ought to be or how people ought to be. Righteous judgment is God's evaluation of everything. And the foundation of that is finished work. People will make expectations of other people, and when they can't live up to another person's expectations because they are human beings, same as you or me, then I say, oh, this person is somehow horrible. You know what? You're living at the throne of iniquity. The throne of grace says they have failed, but they are forgiven. The throne of grace says they are precious in my eyes, and I love them. The throne of grace says mercy and truth. That's the throne of grace. My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. my presence will go with you and I'll give you rest. Did you ever consider that? That at the throne of grace there is great rest? Why? Come unto me, all ye that are weary and heavy laden. What does that mean? Come unto my throne. That's where I am. Come unto my throne and I give you rest. He said, why? My yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm easy to get along with, God says. You ever meet somebody who's not easy to get along with? They're not operating at the throne of grace. But God says, I'm easy to get along with. And I am meek and lowly in heart. In other words, I'm not puffed up, and even though I'm God, I don't think I'm better than you. I think He's better than me, but He doesn't think that. He says, I've created you for my pleasure. He says, I draw you with the cords of a man, and that means of Christ. He says, I love you with an everlasting love. And with loving kindness I draw you. This is the throne of grace. I stand in grace. I do not carry the weight of a government. I have a government uplift me. This is grace. Throne of iniquity works mischief by the law. So I impose a standard on someone that is not God's standard. I do not impose mercy. I impose a law. And it doesn't matter where the law came from. Maybe the law came from the Bible and I misused the Bible. Or maybe the law came from me in my own opinion of what someone ought to be. Not righteous judgment, though. Not the throne of grace. No, it works mischief. It does harm by the law. But God doesn't work that way. God says, I sent my Son and I have cleansed you from your sins. In Revelation 1:5. God said, come, reason. Let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, yet I make you like driven snow. God says, all things are passed away and all things are become new. If you are in Christ, God calls us the apple of His eye. That's the throne of grace. The throne of grace is where I experience the love of God. I don't experience it at the throne of iniquity. Isn't this what we often do to ourselves? I do something wrong and then I demand myself to be perfect. I'm not saying there are no standards. Certainly there are standards. God initiates standards. He does have things like chastisement or discipline. He won't let me live like hell and let me stay here very long. But He won't send me into hell either. What happens if I, by my own choices, own decisions, decide to live like hell before God? And I don't get right, and He gives me opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to get right. What happens? He says, okay, you can't get it right down there. That's fine. You're going to get it right up here. Come right on up. And He embraces me in His bosom. Even though I was a wicked sinner and I wouldn't get right with Him, He takes me up to heaven. And He embraces me there, and then He lets me get to know Him there. Said, the world didn't work for you, son. But heaven will do the trick. You didn't know how to respond to my spirit and my call and my leading and my love on earth, but you will learn how to in heaven, I guarantee you. Why? Because then I don't have to deal with the old sin nature. Then I don't have to deal with Satan. Then I don't have to deal with the world. So the throne of grace will even take me to heaven early if it needs to, so that I can get to know His love. By the way, I don't know why this is so on my heart today. Backbiting, ridicule behind people's backs is very dangerous for a Christian. It's dangerous for everybody. Because God says, you've poked me in the eye. and now I'm mad. Don't mock people. Satan does that. That's where it came from. People fellowship with the atmosphere in a personality rapport that's a form of soul power initiated by Satan and energized by him. And then they go and mock people. Can you see Jesus mocking someone? Like, imagine the person that was running around naked in the caves and around the rocks. Right? He was demon possessed. Can you imagine if Jesus came and started mocking him? Can you even come close to that notion in your mind? How strange and weird and disturbing that thought actually is, isn't it? Can you imagine if the guy said, "Why don't you put some clothes on, dude?" and started ridiculing him? Isn't this still what we believers sometimes do? We find another believer who just doesn't suit our taste or our fancy, and we start to mock or ridicule. Did you know that was Satan's attitude? Disparaging behind people's backs is Satan's attitude, and we take it on and we repeat his words to destroy God's kingdom and God's people. Never do that. That's evil. You can't repent of it. You got to leave it. It's a place. You have to leave it. You get out of there. Every step you took in, you take out. That's a difficult thing to do. You go to the people and you repent to them. That takes humility. Very few believers have that kind of humility. They won't do it. They suffer eternal loss. They won't do it. No. We live at the throne of grace. Give grace to people. Love them. See them the way God sees them. Why? Because God loves them. God loves us. We've turned the greatest truth in the universe to a bumper sticker cliche, but God does love us. And we're very precious in His eyes. And we come to the throne of grace and we're there in His presence. And we find our rest there. And we get there by mercy and truth. God's mercy when I fail, God's truth to keep me from failing. God's mercy when I fail, God's truth to guide me and to tell me what He thinks of me. Always live at the throne of grace. You walk in it. You live in it. You don't just have it over you. You're a part of it. You become one with it. It becomes the way you think. And it becomes who you are. Can you imagine that? The beauty of God becomes who you are. But that's what it says. Amen.